Hello, and welcome to Tantramar Report on CHMA 106.9 FM. We're broadcasting from Sackville, New Brunswick, the heart of the Maritimes, on the traditional and unceded lands of the Mi'kmaq people. I'm Erica Butler. It's Wednesday, December 15th. Coming up on today's show, we hear about a proposal to build an active transportation bridge across the Trans-Canada Highway, and we talk with the former head of the NB Trails Association about why the organization went defunct and why a new trails association for the province is needed. But first, Mount Allison University is reporting another case of COVID-19 in its off-campus community, making a total of 5 active cases currently at the school. In response to those cases and the arrival of the Omicron variant in New Brunswick, Mount A announced major changes to operations on Tuesday, including canceling all in-person exams scheduled for the rest of the week. Students planning to travel home for the break are being asked to do so as soon as possible. The library will move to online service, and the Athletic Center and Owens Art Gallery are closed. Access to campus is being restricted to staff, students, and faculty only. The first off-campus case was reported by the school on Friday, December 10th, followed by 3 cases in people living on campus on Monday, December 13th. Tuesday's new case, off-campus, makes 5 total active cases at the university. The university recently announced plans to lift capacity restrictions on its classrooms in January, a move which may now be reconsidered in light of active cases and the government of New Brunswick's new restrictions inspired by the discovery of the Omicron variant in the province. Spokesperson Laura Dillman said Tuesday morning the university was still analyzing the details of the government's recent announcement. Dillman said Mount Allison is part of a weekly call with public health and the Department of Post-Secondary Education, Training and Labor, and we'll be asking for clarification on the post-secondary education sector. In a news conference Monday afternoon, Chief Medical Officer Jennifer Russell announced 3 cases of the latest variant of concern in the province, with another 4 connected cases presumed to be Omicron. 2 of the confirmed cases are in Zone 7, the Miramichi region, and 1 case is in Zone 1, the Moncton region. Public Health says all cases are connected to the current outbreak in Antigonish, Nova Scotia. As of Tuesday, no new Omicron cases have been identified. In response to the arrival of the more transmissible variant, the province is putting in place additional public health measures starting this Friday, including closing K-6 schools a week early for an extended Christmas break. Premier Blaine Higgs also said that households would return to a steady 20 limit on contacts, in addition to the 20-person limit on gatherings. Starting Friday, businesses will also see some changes, with capacities reduced by 50% at cinemas and entertainment centers, and 2-meter distancing back in restaurants, spas, and gyms. The measures are similar to those being put in place in Nova Scotia, where 40 cases of Omicron have been identified as of Monday, and daily case numbers have recently spiked. Dr. Russell said Omicron has been found to be about 30% more transmissible than the Delta variant, which is the dominant strain in New Brunswick right now.
With Omicron, it's a numbers game. Cases double approximately every 2 days. The sheer volume of cases we expect to see in Canada is quite large. Based on our knowledge and based on modeling, it may translate into more hospitalizations, and that is why it is more important than ever that New Brunswickers become fully vaccinated as soon as possible. Given the growing number of cases among young children in our province, it is vital that every parent ensures that their children between 5 and 11 years of age get their first dose of COVID-19 vaccine. As mentioned, booster shots provide a further necessary layer of protection. 2 doses is good, 3 doses is better. We need to maximize our protection in every way possible.
Russell said the jury is out on the severity of Omicron, but it has a short incubation period within 2.5 days. The messaging was clear on Monday that the increased measures would be in place to slow the spread of the virus while booster shots roll out across the province.
Our goal is to slow the spread of this virus. We need to buy time so we can get boosters into as many people as possible to increase protection for ourselves, our families, our communities, and our healthcare system.
In Sackville, the next health authority clinic is slated for this Friday, December 17th at the Sackville Visitor Information Center. There are also clinics running daily in Moncton and around the province. In addition, the Corner Drug Store is offering appointments for shots for people 12 and over, and they ask patients to register for appointments on their website. They are not offering pediatric shots for those aged 5 to 11 due to capacity issues. On Tuesday, public health announced 2 more deaths from COVID-19 and 109 new cases of the disease in the province. The active case count is now 1,052 in the province, with 187 of those in Zone 1. The lion's share of new cases continued to be reported as under investigation by public health, meaning it's not known where the infections have come from. 59 schools in the province are currently impacted by COVID-19 cases. In the Tantramar region, the Port Elgin Regional School is the only one impacted and remains in online learning for the rest of the week. At Monday's meeting of Sackville Town Council, Treasurer Michael Beale told Council that the town is ending 2021 in a good financial position and recommended depositing just over $1 million into the town's reserve funds. The town spent less than budgeted in certain areas due to staffing vacancies, the cancellation of the fall fair, and last-minute extra funding under the Safe Restart program that was unbudgeted. Council approved the transfer of $100,000 to its operating reserve and $900,000 to its capital reserve. The operating reserve is now sitting at about $300,000, which may be used to cover the back pay for RCMP officers as a result of their first-ever contract signed with the federal government this year. The town's capital reserve fund will grow to $2.7 million with this year's deposit. That money will be used for some projects already planned but not executed this year, and also the town's portion of the Lawrence Street Phase 3 project should funding come through from the federal and provincial governments. Just a few days after a rally of hundreds outside the Sackville Memorial Hospital calling for a solution to the healthcare staffing crisis, Horizon Health announced an additional unexpected early closure of emergency services at the hospital over the weekend. The closure on Saturday seemed to echo the words of Health Minister Dorothy Shepherd at a news conference the day before, when she said the staffing situation in Sackville would get worse before it gets better. Here's Health Minister Dorothy Shepherd answering CHMA's question about the future of the Sackville Hospital last Friday.
We've made a commitment to rural healthcare in the health plan that we just brought forward. The situation in Sackville is about availability of human resources. And we know, in fact, I spoke to this before the summer. I said that this situation would get worse before it gets better. We're dealing with longstanding issues that have never really been addressed, and they go back many years. And so we know that we have recruitment and retention programs that are implemented now that we will be enhancing in the weeks coming forward. And that's our only way out of this. We have got to get the personnel that we can to deliver the programs that we have there. But it is certainly not an attack on rural hospitals. It is a human resource issue. And we are fully committed to our rural hospitals throughout New Brunswick, as I've stated several times during my health plan unveiling.
That was Health Minister Dorothy Shepherd speaking on Friday. At Monday's council meeting, CAO Jamie Burke told councillors that town staff had already reached out to the Department of Transportation and Infrastructure about a potential meeting regarding the recently revived proposal for a pedway over the Trans-Canada Highway, where it bisects the Trans-Canada Trail. Burke said the town's plan is to consult the provincial department and then come back to council for a formal endorsement of the project if necessary. Last Monday at council, two members of a group called the Sackville Footbridge Working Group told council they had secured a $1 million anonymous donation to go towards the construction of the pedway, a project that has been talked about in Sackville since the 1990s. Local active transportation advocate Ross Thomas told council that the Never Say Die project has been given a new burst of life with a sizable donation.
We believe this funding is more than enough to restart the initiative, assist with necessary preliminary studies, and help leverage provincial, federal, and private funding. More importantly, it's a project that makes sense now. It'll help the Trans-Canada Trail become a viable and safe way to actively travel between Middle and Upper Sackville and downtown Sackville in an environment free of hydrocarbons and the congestion of the Main Street corridor.
Thomas said the project fit within many of the town's strategic plan goals, including environmental, active transportation, economic development, tourism, and quality of lifestyle.
The unending era of COVID has highlighted a need for exercise in safe spaces, the importance of benefits of these experiences to our psycho-emotional well-being. Our community trails and green spaces have never been busier. So such a link has the potential to drive increased use of the trail all the way to the fixed link as people-powered corridor, linking the well-developed trails in PEI to Sackville, as well as the new Hillsborough to Capilet cycle path. Tourists who presently drive by our town to go to these destinations may well stop here to begin and end their journeys. And Sackville could become the eco-tourist center that it already is for the people who live here.
Thomas told council he expected the project ownership would be with the province, as they own both the highway and the Trans-Canada Trail, both of which run through town. Engineer Jeff McKinnon also spoke to council last week, recounting some of the history of the project, including a previous concept sketch of a bridge by renowned sculptor and architect Bill Lishman, completed about 20 years ago. More recently, about 5 years ago, Algonquin Bridge completed a concept design showing a simple span bookended by zigzagging ramps on either end. Algonquin is part of AIL Group, based in Sackville, and McKinnon says their involvement has helped lower the estimated cost of the project to about $2 million.
Getting them involved allowed us to bring the cost of the structure down because we are not presenting them with the project to say, okay, can you build this? We are asking them, what can you build and how can we fit it to suit our site? That brought the cost down to about $2 million. With the announcement tonight that we have a funding partner that is putting forward $1 million, we're about 50% of the way there of making this project a reality. $1 million in place, as Dr. Thomas mentioned, I just want to reiterate that it will allow us to leverage funding from hopefully municipal partners, Town of Sackville, the province, federal government, and other private donors.
Council's reaction to the proposal last week was mixed, with Councillor Bill Evans expressing support for the concept, but concern over the town's ability to contribute financially, noting there were other major projects already on the town's list. Finally, on today's show, we bring you an interview with Jane McCullough, the former executive director of NB Trails and national director of trails for the Trans-Canada Trail, now working as a private consultant. I spoke with McCullough back in October when concerns were being raised in Sackville about vandalism of trail gates and ATVs using trails and causing damage. I started off asking McCullough for a bit of a history lesson on the Trans-Canada Trail and the now-defunct NB Trails Association.
Back in the late 90s, the province received a bunch of abandoned rail corridors. And so over the years, NB Trails worked to develop these rail corridors. And so one of the ones is the section of trail from Sackville out to Port Elgin. So that was developed by NB Trails and then became, it's now called the Trans-Canada Trail again. It became part of the Trans-Canada Trail early on in the inception of the Trans-Canada Trail as well. And NB Trails was really instrumental in getting that trail completed and helping to protect some sections in the area from ATVs and those types of things.
All right. We're looking at, these days there's a considerable number of complaints that ATVs seem to have breached the Trans-Canada Trail. These are abandoned rail beds, so it's not like we are carving trails out of the wilderness, but still it's a fair amount of financial outlay, I'm sure. And it took a fair amount of work for NB Trails. But NB Trails no longer exists. Is that right? What happened to what happened to the organization?
Well, over time, the organization it's hard to really explain what happened. But overall, the transition of the trail, the maintenance, because that is what NB Trails did a lot of, was the maintenance of the trails. Although they also did do work with groups and helping groups get organized and that type of thing. But most of the work that NB Trails did towards the end of the life of NB Trails was maintenance of the trails. And the Department of Natural Resources and Natural Resources and Energy Development began to tender out those contracts to other contractors. And so the role of NB Trails just started to just sort of fell by the wayside. And so in October of 2019, they shut the door and the province was left without a voice for greenway trails in the province.
Yeah, and that it's unfortunate because it does seem like there's a gap there. I know that in speaking to people around Sackville who are worried about trail upkeep or trail access, they're talking to the town. The town is in turn saying, well, we have to talk to the Department of Natural Resources. The Department of Natural Resources doesn't seem to really have a big priority. There's not like a big department dedicated to maintaining those trails.
No. And, you know, there's a small fund called the Trail Infrastructure Fund that is administered through the Department of Tourism, Heritage and Culture through their Sport and Recreation Consultants. And that's $180,000 for the entire province. So that's a small pot of money that's available for doing work on the trails, but it's not the significant amount of money that MB Trails used to have to do the maintenance of the trails. Back in the day, they would have crews actually out working on the trails on a regular basis to maintain them. And that changed over time to where they, you know, again, were not maintaining the trails, and it became the responsibility of Natural Resources to find contractors, put them out to tender and find contractors to do the work.
So with that $180,000 budget for the province, back in its heyday, was NB Trails, I'm imagining, was just for maintenance, was working with a larger budget than that? Do you recall what the ballpark was to maintain these trails in the province?
It was significantly larger, like in the magnitude of millions at one point.
Okay. All right. And now, when you say $180,000 for the whole province, that also means the Department of Natural Resources must also be chipping in and covering some of those costs, is it not?
Yeah. Well, so that money... So that's for groups to apply to work. And then the Department of Natural Resources does have a budget to do significant infrastructure work. So culvert replacements, bridge, like replacement of bridges and those types of things. But a lot of that, so that they do have that budgeted in. So they'll be responsible if a culvert will, there's a work that needs to be done in a bridge. The Department of Natural Resources will prioritize that work and do that work. But then if there's other groups that have small community trails or they're doing something like, it would be more something like through the Waterfowl Park, then the town could apply through the Sport and Recreation Consultant in that area for a portion of the funds. And that's just a small funding pot, like the $180,000 for the entire province. And they're typically grants from $5,000 to $20,000.
Right. And would you say that, I mean, a lot of the stewardship now, I mean, now that NB Trails is no more, is most of the stewardship happening just in communities that do have sort of local groups organized to sort of look out for their trails and either do the work or apply for grants to get the work done?
Yeah, so if there's a trail group that's out there that does work primarily on their own trails that they've developed, so not necessarily ones on Crown land, but they're small local trails, the groups will do maintenance and work on it or work with the town to apply for funds. But a lot of the abandoned rail corridors are not typically managed by local groups. MB Trails sort of looked after them. There's some sections like up in the Acadian Peninsula that the group looks after, but a large portion of them are there's no groups in place for those trails. So they're owned by the province, and the Department of Natural Resources does work when as required.
Do you know if New Brunswick is alone in not having a provincial trails organization to look after the Trans-Canada Trail?
So New Brunswick, Newfoundland has the Newfoundland Trailway, which is a singular trail, and they often function as a provincial organization and are the partner for Trans-Canada Trail. But the majority of the provinces across the country have provincial trail associations, and the territorial groups they fall under some other organizations, but they're a little bit less structured because they don't have as many trails. But New Brunswick and Newfoundland are really the only two provinces in the country that don't have a provincial trail association.
Right. And as you say, Newfoundland does have something similar, but just not.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is there a future for New Brunswick Trails or NB Trails, or will we have an association in the future, do you think?
Well, there's certainly a group of people that are interested in seeing that happen. So after MB Trails closed its doors, there was a group of about 45 people that met in Riverview the following month, and actually a few from the Sackville area. And there was some work that happened, started to happen around how there could be an association formed and what could be done around it, what were the major issues that needed to be addressed. But there's not been anything established to date.
Right.
So there's been a 2-year void, more or less, when it comes to the Greenway Trails. But they do have access to the regional consultants for the Department of the Sport and Rec branch, and they're administering the fund and can provide some access to resources. But there is no central repository of information or a place to go for to answer questions, a broad set of questions that people had, a question about insurance, a question about maintenance, a question about marketing. There's no one place for them to go. They'd have to go to different people.
When you think about these Greenway Trails and sort of their importance to communities, society in general, what are some of the big factors that you think of? Like, why do we want these?
Oh my gosh, that's the wrong person because I'm going to go off. Well, to me, trails are critically important to the vibrancy of the community. I mean, they are the place where people get out and be active and meet friends and talk to people. And so I think that we've seen through the pandemic how important trails have been. And, we've had instances where the trails have been so busy and the parking lots have been so full that you haven't been able to walk on them because it's just so crowded. And so I think since COVID, we've really actually realized more and more how important they are. So, and really it is, it's quality of life, it's health and wellness. There's even economic benefits when it comes to trails. So I believe that, Greenway Trails, all trails for that matter, are critically important. And, there seem to be a bit more of interest in terms of supporting trails. There's some federal funding that's now become available for active transportation. And the provincial government here has a signature trail program, but that's for a small amount of trails, but they're starting to look at how they can develop those. But the small community trails are the trails that I think are the ones that most people use and are the ones that need that guidance. And so, it's unfortunate that there is that void for those small community trails.
I guess obviously there's potential here that's untapped. I would say just from having seen trails at work in some other places. When you look at what's happening in other jurisdictions, who do you think that we should be looking to say, wow, that's what could be happening in New Brunswick if we could get it organized?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think a lot of people look to what they're doing in Quebec. They have a really great system called Leather Belt. They've got a lot of signature trail products or tourism products, and so they do a really good job. But provinces that have Nova Scotia next door, they have Nova Scotia Trails Association, and they are there to support those volunteer groups. And you're seeing a lot more work being done with the Celtic Shores Coastal Trail, Rum Runners Trail, Harvest Moon Trail. There's a lot of really great trails in Nova Scotia, and I think they're a good example in terms of how they're structured. But that being said, I mean, New Brunswick does have some great products like the Bellerite de la Peninsula Acadienne, the Nipisiquit Mi'kmaq Trail. There's the Shoreline Trail, which is being developed, which will run from Alma to Capelet, and there's the Coastal Link Trail. So we've got a lot of really great product here, but it's to bring everyone together and have that one strong voice that's currently missing in the province. And that's where I think it's really important for these groups to share ideas and strengthen and look at other jurisdictions and see what they're doing and learn from them.
You mentioned there's some federal money for active transportation. I guess I'll ask you one final thing before I let you go.
Sure.
What would you like to see happen next in New Brunswick?
Well, I think there's a couple of things that I'd like to see. I think that there's the opportunity to start promoting our trails more, developing a lot more of a strong active transportation policy for the province. I think that's really important. I'd like to see stronger connections between communities so that we can start linking communities together and creating great infrastructure within the communities, but also the opportunity to create longer systems to create some additional tourism products. And I think that, if we can start promoting the benefits and getting people excited and talking about trails. That's what I would love, because we've got an extensive trail network in the province, but not a lot of people know about it. And so I would really like for people to be more aware of the trail system and start talking about and boasting about it, because we do have great trails. We just right now don't have a trail organization to support them.
That was Jane McCullough, the former executive director of NB Trails, speaking with me in October. That's it for CHMA's Tantramar Report for this Wednesday, December 15th. As always, we hope you'll get in touch with your comments or questions at news@chmafm.com. I'm Erica Butler. Thanks for listening.